On a normal Wednesday afternoon in January of 1958, around 60 people or so were attending an auction at the former Carmody's Hotel on Abbey Street in Ennis when the floor of the first floor room gave way beneath them. 8 people would die, over 20 others were injured in a tragedy that is one of the town's darkest days. Ahead of the anniversary of that disaster this coming Monday, and ahead of an event this weekend which will mark the tragedy, this morning we remember the disaster at Carmody's Hotel.
On Wednesday afternoon, the 15th of January, 1958, shortly after 2:30, between 50 and 60 people were gathered upstairs in Carmody's Hotel, Abbey Street, Ennis. They were attending an auction of the contents of this famous old establishment, which had been closed for business in August of the previous year. The 3-day auction had begun earlier that morning, and following a lunch break, the auctioneer, Mr. Louis de Courcy, was about to accept bids on various linen items. Without warning, just seconds into the sale, the floor of the room began to sag and give way in the middle, hurtling the entire mass of people, auction lots and furniture down onto the floor of the room 14 feet below. 8 people lost their lives as a result of the accident in Ennis that afternoon. Mrs. Bridget Byrne, 45, a native of Limerick, a Kilrush resident, and mother of 5 sons. Mrs. Josephine Carmody, 39, from Barefield, a part-time nurse at the county hospital, and mother of 5 children, ranging in age from 12 down to 10 months. Mrs. Margaret Coffey, 40, from Killoo, Clarecastle. Mrs. Coffey was the mother of 6 young children. Mrs. Nora Considine, 60, of Currafin, a widow. She had 5 grown daughters. Ernest Dereg, 54, a native of Ghent in Belgium and a resident of the town of Ennis for almost 30 years, father of 4 children. Thomas Donlan, 13, of Bindon Street, a schoolboy, one in a family of 13 children. His father was a well-known inspector of schools in the locality. James Fitzgibbon, 47, of Marion Avenue, a married man and father of 4. Mrs. Helena McNamara, 73, who came from Crusheen. Mrs. McNamara was married and the oldest person to die in the disaster. Rather like the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963 on a worldwide scale, Clare people of a certain vintage can pinpoint where they were and what they were doing when they heard of the Carmody's crash.
It's Father Brendan Quinlivan, and that recording comes from a 1998 Clare FM documentary, As If Night Fell. It was produced by Father Brendan along with Matt Purcell and Jerry Quinn, and we'll be hearing another extract from it later on. And in particular, I'd like to thank Jerry for his assistance this week in helping us secure that audio. That was recorded to mark the 40th anniversary of the Carmody's tragedy. It is 60 years ago on Monday, and to mark it this time around, a book has been produced by John Bradley in association with the Clare Root Society about Carmody's Hotel and about the terrible events that unfolded on that day. John, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin.
And thank you very much for joining us. I was struck by that description there by Father Brendan, that it was like the assassination of JFK and that people remembered where they were when they heard what had happened. It was that significant.
Absolutely. It was probably the greatest tragedy that ever happened in Ennis. When 8 people lost their lives, it was a serious event.
What are your memories of the day?
Well, my memories are fading as the years pass by. However, I was coming home from school in the afternoon. I came on the scene and I got up in the pier of a gate in the building next door, and I had an aerial view of the whole event and the people being rescued and being taken out through the windows. It was, it created a lot of pandemonium, of course, and there were services coming from all directions in relation to rescue, try to rescue the people, and it was quite a catastrophe at the time.
I can only presume there was a lot of emotion, a lot of upset, grief, I suppose, even at that stage at the scene.
Oh, absolutely. There were people shouting and screaming because they had relations within the building, and they were either after coming out of the building or going back into the building when all this happened so suddenly.
And was there much in the way of a rescue effort, or was that being done by the emergency services in the main?
Well, the emergency service came on the scene fairly quickly, but also people came from all directions and went in to try and help get the people out. In actual fact, there was a double family wedding across the street at the Queen's Hotel, and the bride and groom and the guests of the wedding all rushed across the road to help out.
Remarkable, isn't it? What do you remember then of the aftermath of the incident in terms of the coverage that this got? Because as I understand it, this was very big news internationally.
Oh, absolutely. It made world headlines. It was relayed across the world, and newspapers carried it in all countries.
And what was the mood like locally then?
The mood locally, of course, was disappointment and upset at the event, because it happened so suddenly, so quickly. The auction started at 11 o'clock in the morning. It progressed, and the auctioneer was quite satisfied at 1 o'clock when he closed down for lunch. At 2:15 he came back to resume the auction, and within 15 minutes the floor had collapsed.
And what happened?
What happened was that the weight of the people and the furniture and other items that were being auctioned in the room was too much for the 150-year-old hotel and the floor of that hotel. So it gave away from the four corners, and it came into a type of funnel hole in the centre of the room, and the people slid down through that. Also, furniture items came down, so they were on top of each other, and there was no escape.
Yeah, absolutely, indeed. Our other guest with us in studio as well is Larry Brennan. He's also part of the Clare Route Society. Good morning to you, Larry.
Morning, Gavin.
You're a little bit too young to remember this, I know, but maybe you can tell us about Carmody's itself as a hotel, because we should take a moment to mark it as a very historical place.
Yeah, John has recorded in his book, he goes back to 1804, he traces the different owners down through the years, the Carmelys and all the other families that were involved with it. Historically, De Valera used it as his base, Parnell used it as his base, and there's a couple of more, Del O'Connell as well. I forget Del O'Connell, I'm in deep trouble. But no, the Carmely Hotel really was a key place in Innes, so it was where everything happens. You could say it's the equivalent of Temple Gate or the Old Ground or the Queen's now, so it is. But if there was anything happening in town, it happened in Carmody's Hotel.
And it's not there anymore, obviously, but the entrance to the Abbey Street car park where the road is there now, that's where it was positioned.
If you visualise Yolo's and we'd say the Beleek shop, between there was Carmody's Hotel. The great work of Joe Boland, the county manager at the time, who had a great influence on Innes, opened up that whole area. All that was there was a laneway into the back for the stables. You see, when people came, they came on horseback, etc. So they had to be stabled in at the back of the hotel. So basically, Joe Boland in the 60s cleared Abbey Street car park, and he cleared Parnell Street car park.
Okay.
All the cottages.
Indeed, a man who's had a very big influence, no doubt. As I say, you're a little bit young to remember the day itself, but was this a day that was always talked about? I mean, were you always aware of what had happened?
It was. The DVD was, I suppose, when the DVD was done 20 years ago now, you tuned into it, and it meant something. We, in a previous publication or two, ran into two issues. One was Drumcliffe 1. We included a history of it there in a page and a half. But then when we went across the road to the Calvary section of Drumcliffe, we noticed Ernest O'Reig is buried there, along with the Fitzpatrick man from Marion Avenue. So we felt, you know, there's a story behind every gravestone. So there was a big one behind this one. And while it's all coming together this weekend, this is after 9 months' work with John and the Clare Route Society, Clare County Council, Innes Parish. You know, we've been all trying to put together this weekend that it'll be more than just a get-together. The yeah. families are putting a great effort into it. The families of the deceased, they're travelling from all over the world, so they are to come to us this weekend.
And we'll hear from one of those who's travelling in just a short little while. John described the scene and what led up to this tragedy, I suppose. You're going to hear another description of that now, because after the floor gave way in the auction room, it was on the first floor, there were scenes of panic and of devastation, of course. And again, from As If Night Fell, here's Micheál Crimmins. He was a local businessman among those caught up in the unfolding tragedy.
I reckon I must have been pretty near the centre. And when the crack came and I felt the floor give, I was pretty active. And I sensed this, and I shouted to Mrs. Maloney that the floor is gone. And I instantly raised my arms when I felt the support going from my feet. And as it turned out, my lower legs were jammed tight in the crush. I couldn't move them. I subsequently tried to pull my leg up. And what happened was that the ligaments at the knee joint were actually torn asunder, because the upper limb was strong and the lower limb was held fast. The left ankle was injured by being pressed on top of some broken board or broken timber spar, and eventually became injured. I suffered from lack of movement from that. Now, there was a tremendous lot of dust. The whole place became smothered in dust, and there was panic all over. Some people, in their anxiety to get out, they began to head for windows and the door that was overhead, the entrance to the room, and subsequently, through no fault of their own, they actually walked on top of the heads and shoulders of some of the people who were trapped.
Micheál Crimmins there, taking part in that documentary aired in 1998, As If Night Fell. The description, I picked that part out of the documentary, John, because it's so striking, it's so vivid, it's upsetting, to be blunt, to hear what happened, but it brings home the devastation of the day.
Oh, absolutely, and there are many other stories like that, and they're all recorded in the book. One instance would be which I was disappointed about recently. Only a couple of months ago, I interviewed Michael Tierney, whose story is in the book. His wife was at the auction on the day with her friend, and they were, as he told me, they were bidding for De Valera's bed. But however, Michael was very. He was very helpful, and he was very informative. His mind was very acute, and he relayed the story to me. And 3 weeks afterwards, the 19th of December, he passed away, which I was very sorry to hear.
Indeed, and that's maybe brings us on. And I don't want this to come across as being cold, and apologies if it does. But you wanted to make sure you captured as many memories as was possible while you still could.
Well, that was the reason. 9 months ago, when Clare Road Society decided to commemorate the event, we thought that if it should be done now, because as the years went by, we were losing people who were there involved either in the auction or in the rescue, and people who could relate the actual story. So we have done that,
absolutely. No, and it is a fabulous publication. You've done a huge amount of work, and it shows in the number of stories and interviews, the number of photographs and press clippings as well.
Well, that was one thing that was a tragedy in itself, that a Captain Arthur Morgan, he was the pilot of a charter flight that came into Shannon. Well, possibly daily, bringing the newspapers and any other photographs and things like that. But his job was to bring the news back. The media had descended on Ennis, and he was bringing the photographs of various newspapers back to Dublin and on to Manchester. But unfortunately, when he was taken off from Shannon about 11 o'clock that night, for some reason or other, he didn't close the door of the cockpit properly, and the plane crashed into the Shannon Estuary.
And there was another tragedy in Ennis that day as well.
It was
a sudden death, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the Friary Bow, as we call it, and Mrs. McNamara, a young woman, she lived in the Causeway, or Francis Street now, and she took ill, and she died on the laneway. but she ended up in the ambulance with a number of the people from Camry's Hotel. So initially the number got out was 9. So they were mixing up her little tragedy with the Camry Hotel tragedy.
Absolutely, indeed. You mentioned, Larry, as well, how this weekend there will be a ceremony which will mark the publication of the book, the 60th anniversary, and more. And earlier on this week, I spoke with one of those who will be in attendance. Larry also mentioned Ernest de Regge. He was among one of the 8 who passed away at Carmody's Hotel, originally from Belgium. He'd been living in Ennis for nearly 30 years at that stage, was an accomplished musician and indeed a professor of music at St. Fanon's College. As I've mentioned already, members of his family will be in Ennis on Sunday for the event to mark the 60th anniversary. Among them, his daughter, Ghislaine, who was a teenager when her father died. We spoke via Skype earlier this week, and she told me of how she had been watching a film at Cloche de Wirra, where they'd been on a half day, when she was told of the dreadful news.
We were watching the movie, and then I was called out of the hall. And I, of course, had no idea why I would be called out, and I left the hall, and outside was Dr. Breed Moylan, who was also our neighbor in Bindon Street, and she pulled me aside and told me that, a terrible accident had happened and that my father was involved, and of course I didn't believe that it could have been anything serious, because, obviously nothing had ever happened to us like that. And so I had very much trouble processing what she said.
Do you remember much then in the aftermath of that, or what are your recollections of later on that day and in that week? I mean, for example, did you go to the hotel at any stage?
No, I didn't go to the hotel at any stage. I think things happened. And I really were pulled along by the events, but didn't have any control over, where you went or who you saw, or things sort of just, so after Breed Moylan talked to me, I went home and to Bendon Street, which was just across the street from the school, and there... Our housekeeper Lucy was there, and she obviously knew already what had happened, and she was crying. And then it occurred to me that I should call Belgium, to where my mother's family was. And so I did call, and my Dutch was very bad at the time, so but I did manage to sort of explain a little bit, just the basic. And then Louis Abers, who was a friend of my father's and also a Belgian organist in Galway, he appeared there, and he took over the phone, and his Dutch was pretty good. So he explained what happened. And I was, when I heard somebody else explain what happened, it just hit me that it was real. Before that, it hit me that was real.
It's obviously a traumatic experience, and I know that for understandable reasons the tragedy made headlines across Ireland, it made headlines worldwide. I don't know what your recollection of that would be, though, because obviously for you this is a very personal tragedy, and your memories are probably more personal than, for the want of a better term, the bigger picture.
Yes, and it was sort of... it was unreal. And I suppose, and that's the same for any family or any person who faces a tragedy like that just out of the blue. My father was, he had this car, a Lloyd car, and he was a terrible driver. So, the idea that... And in those days, when you came to a crossroads, you just honked and kept going, and when we would travel, passing another car was like a minor victory. You scored how many cars you passed. And so I had sort of thought, well, he's going to have a car crash. But I never thought he would, die in a car crash. But it was just like, that's what I sort of that was the only possibility kind of that I entertained. And of course, he loved going to auctions. He used to go to auctions regularly in Dublin, found that exciting, I'm sure. So yeah. There was no way I could have associated the auction with a tragedy.
Of course. Later, you moved back to Belgium. I know, Ghislaine, you lived 60 years, obviously, since then as well, and I hope that's been a happy time. But this is obviously the sort of event that never leaves you.
Oh, yeah, right. It's not something... And I don't know whether this is normal or not, but for me, I dwell a lot on the past. And that's why I wrote the memoir, because I wanted those memories to be passed on to my sisters. I was the eldest of six, so my younger sister was only, 6 years old when my father died, so she really didn't know him. And so I wanted to make sure that there was that those happy days and those wonderful people were remembered. And and I felt like it was a duty to pass this on. Okay. I didn't want to let it go, because we had a wonderful time in Ireland, and my father was very, very happy there, really very happy there. My mother also, we were very happy there.
Just finally then, Ghislaine, you will be in Ennis this Sunday for the service to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the Carmody Hotel tragedy. Why have you decided to do that? Why is it important for you, and I know other members of your family as well, to travel such long distances to be here?
Well, this is a central occurrence in our family that has marked us all. And we still, we appreciate enormously that Ennis would remember now 60 years later and go to the trouble of setting up a ceremony or remembrance and having the other families there also, which I have never met. So it's very touching that Ennis would do this, and we certainly want to attend and express our appreciation for that friendship and that outreach and those gestures that I think are characteristic of Ennis. They are, that's the place we has a big an important place in our hearts. Yeah.
I can see you smiling as you say that. I'm sure it'll be, in its own way, a difficult day, but there's some really nice words.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's going to be definitely memorable, very memorable.
That's Ghislaine Dureg. Her father, Ernest, passed away at the Carmody's Hotel tragedy on the 15th of January of 2018. And I hope that for everybody who's involved in the organisation of Sunday's event, that you get lots of sentiments like that, John, because I thought it was a very nice way to finish the interview. You could hear in Ghislaine's voice what it means that here we are 60 years on, still remembering her father.
Oh, absolutely. And it's no wonder she would, because he was a great man in his own right. But I'm sure it left an indelible mark on all the family. And she has kept in touch with Ennis and her friends in Ennis over the years.
And a regular visitor, she was telling me as
absolutely.
Well. This coming Sunday, Larry, the anniversary itself formally is Monday, but this coming Sunday there are events to mark the 60th anniversary of the tragedy at Carmody's.
Yeah, we have a mass at 11:30 in the cathedral, and Donna Wiles, he's an organist below in Enniscorthy, but he's originally from Innes. He's playing the direct music of
St Oliver Plunkett,
and it's hasn't been played in Innes for 20 years. We then proceed down to the back of the cathedral for the book launch at approximately
12:45, I suppose.
Yeah, and we'll end up then at 2:15 at Carmody's Hotel at the side of Yolo's, for each of the members of the family will lay a wreath along with the Mayor of Clare on behalf of the people of Clare and the Mayor of Venice on behalf of the people of Venice in remembrance of those that lost their lives in the tragedy.
And that's from at 2:15 on Sunday afternoon. The book launch, as you mentioned as well, taking place in the parish office, John. Where can people get their hands on it then, or is it already out? Or?
In the parish centre, we will have books available for sale there at the launch, and it will be also available during the week at Innes Bookshop, Mary Kelly's, O'Connor's in the Market. And in actual fact, on Sunday, Jerry Condon's news agency on the site of Carmody's Hotel, he'll have books for sale.
Very good. And I want to genuinely compliment you, as I've done off air, but I'll say it on air as well. You've put a lot of work into it, and it shows. And it's a wonderful and a very in-depth account of what happened, and a record which I'm glad is there. And thank you very much for the assistance it's given me in preparing for this morning as well.
Don't tell you
a very big well done on your work. It's Carmody's Hotel by John Bradley, in association with the Clare Roots Society, who have an event on Thursday night as well you wanted to tell me about.
Yes, we have our usual monthly meeting, a lecture by Claudette Tate from University of Limerick. It's nicknames and what was the description of it? Nicknames and namesakes.
Okay.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Nicknames and namesakes. It's naming practices in the early modern Ireland.
Very good. And if people want to go along to that?
That's at 8 o'clock in the Old Ground Hotel.
Lovely stuff. Well, that's next Thursday night. Before that, the events on Sunday, as you heard, Mass from 11:30, the launch of the book in the parish centre around 12:45, and that ceremony then from 2:15 or so at the site of Yolo on Abbey Street there, where there is a commemorative plaque as well, Larry, of course.
On the side of the gable of Yolo's.
And that should be maybe bow ahead as you're passing it this exactly. weekend, perhaps, yeah, at the very least. Larry Brennan and John Bradley, thank you very much. For both of you coming into us this morning. And just to let you know as well, as we finish up, you heard extracts there from As If Night Fell, produced by Brendan Quinlivan, Matt Purcell and Jerry Quinn. And again, thanks to Jerry for his assistance in procuring that audio this week.